Hello, Tootie. Hello, Tootie. Hello. Hello. Oh, hello, Tootie. Hello, Tootie. Welcome to the 16th series of Hello, Tootie.
16? You've only
done that. As I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 137th series of Hello, Tootie. Now, those of our listeners who remember our first series, which went out before radio was invented.
Oh, come on. Sunshine, you can't get away with that.
And why not? In the immortal words of Edith Washington, first president of the United States, you can call some of the people all of the time, all of the people some of the time, and Biddy Droops every Friday after 7 o'clock.
Who's Biddy Droops?
Mine does.
The lack of calcium in your diet, you know.
Vera Lynn told me there's a lot of calcium in the white fish of Dover.
She'll say anything to get on.
We used to feed my granddad lots of calcium tablets.
Did he do any good?
What? 2 years after he died, his teeth at the postman.
Tall ginger-haired fellow with a lisp.
He is now.
The dentist, took my wife's teeth out the other day.
Really?
Yeah, took them out of the picture. I've never seen anything so sad in my life as my wife sitting at home sucking a bit set.
That's the trouble with these young teeth nowadays.
When I was a lad, teeth knew their place.
Ah, it's all the school meals and no national service. And now, by the magic of radio, over to the surgery of a dental officer in an army unit near Aldershot.
Teeth! Fall out! Permission to lift, sir. That was a very silly joke.
I'm used to better things than this, you know.
But, sir, I'll have you know, last year at Covent Garden, I did Madame Butterfly.
What happened?
9 months later, I got a telegram saying, congratulations, you've just become the father of Bonnie Bouncing Caterpillar.
Get your coat and get your hat.
What for?
She's fired.
This is war and total war. You'll move out of 1,800 hours under cover of darkness, carrying only your small arms. Swim the river, scale that mountain, and before dawn, I want the enemy observation and machine gun post wiped out. When there are no survivors, we'll start a forced march to the next village 30 miles across country. Any questions?
Yes, sir, isn't that a bit tough? They're packing all cubs.
All right, then we'll size them not. Let's start. We'll start with a granny.
Hello, Kiki.
Hello, Raquel. I'd like to be naughty with the spellmaster.
You come near me and I'll rip your waddle off.
Meanwhile, in the doctor's surgery.
Well, Sir John, I've given you a thorough physical examination, and it strikes me that you've been leading the life of a gay dog.
Why do you say that?
You've got distemper. And get off the couch.
We interrupt this program to bring you a news flash.
At the West End Theatre tonight, the first performance of a play was so badly received that even the electricians pulled the plugs out, which is believed to be the first occasion on which bad play has stopped light.
Would you believe it? For 4 years, Max Bygrave took elocution lessons from Terry Down.
Hello? Yes? No, certainly not.
Who was that?
My dentist. Got a friend who wants to take my wife's appendix out. To an organ recital.
At this point in the program, Dr. Stavely Mee was going to give a talk on Moira Anderson. But he fell off.
However, our outside broadcast unit was on the spot, so here is an instant replay of the event. Meanwhile, in a stately home near the end of a murder mystery.
Sergeant, we must search the whole building and find his lordship. You take the east wing.
If it's all to say to you, sir, I'd rather have a leg with a bit of bread.
You want stuffing?
No, don't answer that. Inspector, may I have a word with you?
Certainly, your ladyship.
When it's like this.
Oh, good lord, page 3, and already I'm playing crumpet again.
What was that, your ladyship?
All I ever do in this show is play birds and a crumpet.
That is untrue. On page 14, you play a golden eagle. On page 25, you play a toasted cheesecake.
See what I mean?
Birds and crumpet. Yeah. Get off. And now, take your partners for a sketch in a chemist's shop.
Good morning. My nerve's in a very bad way, and I wonder if you have a nurse on it.
Certainly, sir. Why don't you try this?
Is it any good?
Of course it is! It's like when I use it myself!
It's a long way to Tipperary.
What did you
start from Cork.
True. I've heard that joke before.
Continuing our real-life drama series, which we started halfway through Does the Scene Sink, during a bad joke by Cardi Robinson.
We present pages from a welfare worker's notebook.
Good morning, Mrs. Wrench. I'm from the council, and we've been checking our records.
Oh, yes. I'm doing it again.
Shut up. According to what you told us, your husband left you 15 years ago after a violent argument. However, the same records show you have 6 children under the age of 12.
Yeah, well, he keeps coming back to apologise.
We interrupt this programme for a newsflash. Scotland Yard released figures today showing a dramatic increase in crimes of violence in the London area. And furthermore...
That's the end of the newsflash, isn't it? Come on, lads, let's go and set fire to Women's Hour.
Women's Hour today is introduced by Marjorie Anderson.
Yes. Well, Women's Hour today comes to you from the puddle in Oxford Street. And our guest of the week is Chief Fire Officer Ernest Siebel. Hello, Ernest, and mind what you're doing with that axe handle.
Sorry, Marge. Could you move a bit to your left? There's something I've got to do. That's better.
It may well be, but what was it?
Slight danger of a little outbreak in that studio over there. There's nothing worse than having your family favourite sing.
I can assure you, ladies, there's no more singing sight than watching these young heroes clean their hoses on a country version.
Hear that, lads? Bit of a tune for Marge.
Hello, Ern. They just set fire to Jimmy Young.
Sorry, Marge. Come on, lads.
Our next guest is Mr. Wainwright Horrible, who has spent the last 60 years building a complete replica of the City of London out of beer bottles. Hello. Hello, Wainwright.
Hello, darling.
I understand that... Please don't do that, Wainwright. We're here on an historic occasion as this last bottle top completes the model.
Yes, I just have to place it on the top of the prosthetic car here. And then... Easy come, easy go.
Now it's time for our series. Maurice Fudd, reading an abridgment by Jean Posey of Elsie Sitton's adaptation of Alexei Kuznetsov's 1,000 Ukrainian Midwives with Flowers in Their Mouths, translated by Eddie Ray.
Jean Posey, abridgment of Elsie Clifton's adaptation of Alexei Kuznetsov's 1,000 Ukrainian Midwives with Flowers in Their Mouths, translated by Eddie Waring, Chapter 2. Igor smiles.
Well, that's all we have time for today, I'm afraid. As in today's program, you heard the London Fire Brigade playing Mozart's Horn Concerto. Tomorrow, we'll be getting Mozart along to put a fire out.
There is a flash. From our motoring unit. There are traffic jams on the M1 because a very old singer has broken down.
And here is that very old singer with his latest recording.
The girl that I care for has done it again. She's fooling around now with 6 other men. She's broken my heart and my new boyfriend's hand. And so I've been the case. At first when I met her, she was my delight. But then I decided it wasn't quite right. The way she stands kissing my wallet goodnight. And so I sang the coast to love. I wasn't strong, I was bewitched. I believe all that she said, but misunderstood. what he meant when she told me the milkman delivered in bed. Now I'm all alone and the embers still burn. I keep getting phoned by a plumber called Ern. But sadly I just don't know which way to turn. And so I say, Nichols to Lord. And so I say, Nichols to plumbers and Nichols to smoothies, Nichols to Newley and Brickers. I still be making Nichols.
In that song, Tim Brooke Taylor was accompanied by our seer, led by Dennis King. When I say led, I don't mean he's in charge. He just plays faster than the other two.
Look here, what do you mean it's all over between us? Johnny, since we met at that charity ball at Christmas, we meant so much to each other, so I must be honest with you. My family and friends say you're uncouth.
I see. Who was taking the apple from the meat, Johnny? Who was brought on the outside, Johnny? Who was old just here in a restaurant, Johnny?
Yes.
Well, what's all this coverage about me being bloody untruthful? Answer me!
Around the world, George Dull, our globe-trotting reporter, has been given a unique assignment to travel around the world seeking out the news and sending us the stories. Exotic, exciting, arresting. Over to George Dull in Beirut.
Hello. Rained a bit this morning, but it cleared up later. My post gate was rather runny and hurt my foot in the lip. This is George Dull in Beirut. Back to London.
Wow! George Dull in Beirut. And now, a silly noise.
That silly noise came to you by courtesy of the Motor Museum at Bewley, Percy Edwards, and another Dean Angus with indigestion.
Pardon me, boys. Is that the shadow you do?
No, it's Mrs. Mills on tour. You can't tell the difference from the front, can you?
No.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, my impression of the fall of the Roman Empire.
Calpurnia, the Empire's just fallen down.
All right, let's go to the Odeon.
Stay away from me.
Take everything off, baby. I want to see what I'm getting.
You animal! If Harry finds out, he'll kill you!
Johnny!
Look, Harry, I can explain.
Excuse me, but are you the manager? This is disgraceful.
Oh, surely, sir, you expect to see this kind of thing in the cinema nowadays?
Yes, but not in the gent's toilet.
I see. Cold drink. I see.
And what's he doing in here?
I'm entitled to it. Don't press me for details.
You mean?
Yes. I'm Inspector Wrinkled, and we still haven't found his lordship. Sergeant, tear this joint apart.
If it's all to take to you, sir, I'd just have a Welsh rarebit.
If you don't stop doing those rotten food jokes, I shall sentence you to 3 months Clement Freud.
I didn't have to bring you.
I think there you speak broadly. And very badly.
I'll have you know that I can say the name of that Welsh station.
Go on, then.
Cardiff Central.
He's a funny lad. He used to be a dwarf, you know.
What happened?
He grew out of it.
You're talking about me again, aren't you?
I am the Laird of Glen Eagle. The one with two doffers like beagles. One is frigid and cold, and the other so old, he was auctioned off by Arthur Meagle.
The name is Arthur Meagle.
Oh, very well. I am the Laird of Glen Eagle.
Oh, get off, you Celtic oaf. I say, Barry, do you know Tim's a Dallas boy?
He's not.
He is. He's the only boy I ever talked to.
Very well. If this denigration of my character persists, I must bid you adieu.
You're Jew and up too Catholic.
You're too Catholic and up a Muslim.
So to the gentleman in the corner with the Harry Sweet eyebrows. That'll be £25,000.
But what have I bought?
Then it's King's flat.
I know he is. I've heard him sing. What have I bought?
You have bought this.
I've already got one of those. The wife will kill me.
Oh, nonsense.
Don't you try and make my Barry out to be a liar.
Mrs. Cryer.
Well, I suppose you like to be naughty with the widow.
Really, madam.
Well, take that.
The widow Cryer was in fact I, Inspector Wrinkle, in yet another disguise. Well, Sergeant, at last we can get out of these corsets. Oh, tell him that. Any further news of his lordship?
No, sir, but I think I love you.
Take your hands off him, Sergeant. He's mine.
So, your ladyship, it was you who killed his lordship for love of me, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's the end of the shipping for that.
Oh. You should have heard the other bit.
But thank you all the same. Sergeant, charge this woman.
Yes, sir.
And they were never seen again. But to this day, if you go to the East Wing, kneel down and put your ear to the floor, a short-sighted butler will spit on your head.
Would you believe it? 85% of patients treated by acupuncture are cured, but leak when they drink.
Well, would you believe it?
My baby don't care for clothes.
Don't like that chair.
My baby don't care for shows.
Didn't like Oklahoma.
My baby just cares for me.
Jeremiah!
Yeah! And they will never feel again. I shall now endeavor to entertain you by playing the voice act humoresque on the heads of the front row of the audience with an egg spoon. Damn that woman, she's late every week.
Well, I'm late, but I had a unique experience, which I'll tell you about sometime. But I was held off at Paddington Station.
That's not unique.
Did I book therapy?
Your ladyship. You're a liar.
I know. The truth is, the sergeant got his whistle chain tangled up in my liberty body. What a confusion. Very difficult wearing a police whistle.
But half as difficult as blowing a liberty body, sir, tell you. Sergeant, darling, any news of his lordship?
No, sir.
But I have a request from the lady of the canteen.
Tell her I will when the yeast tablets start to work.
No. That is well. But altogether or not at all. She wants to hear Pete Murray singing. If you've got friends and neighbours, get them to come on your programme, Pete.
Oh, where are the lads of the village tonight? Oh, where have they been all day? Well, word got around, and they're out on the town, enjoying themselves in a brand new way. There, sitting in Mrs. Adcock with a letter, while Mr. Adcock working at the mill. You might have thought it was euphoria, jumping on Victoria, but take it from me, there never will be a better time to fill than merely sitting in Mrs. Adcock with the letter. The Lindsay lad has nearly filled the bill. I met a chap the other night, I'll swear to prove the way. I said, where are you off to go in your top hat and your tail? Is it bingo at the palace, or the January sale? He said, I'm settling Mrs. Adcock with the letters, while Mr. Adcock working at the mill. Oh, come on! Settling Mrs. Adcock with the letters, it's so much fun you never get to fill. My cousin called a gay young chap, a problem he used to pose. He looked so cute in his purple frock and his lady silk and hose. But now we're very happy, he's no longer one of those. Since he tried tickling Mrs. Adcock with the letters, while Mr. Adcock's working at the mill,
he's had his leg off.
While Mr. Adcock's working at the mill,
he's fallen over.
While Mr. Adcock's working at the mill.
To get away from music for a while. I heard Lance Percival on the radio this morning.
Oh, did he do Tropical Calypso?
Yes.
Speaking of Calypso.
Yes,
weren't you, yes.
Unfortunately, yes.
But speaking of Calypso, my sister went out with a limbo dancer. But she gave him up.
Why?
He was bent.
Yeah. My sister had the same trouble with a trapeze artist.
You mean he was bent?
No, but he swung both ways.
My sister went out with a contortionist, but that is slightly different.
Why?
He broke it up.
We would like to thank Billy Smart Circus for the loan of those jokes, and also for the loan of the hippopotamus.
He's done us proud today, at least three times.
ladies and gentlemen, our Radio Times joke of the week. Many years ago, Holland was in danger of flooding when a hole appeared in one of the dikes protecting the countryside. However, the editor of the Radio Times arrived, put his finger in the hole in the dike, and saved the country.
How do you know it's the editor of the Radio Times?
He hasn't had his finger out in 25 years.
I'd like to point out that joke is purely personal. Now, here's a spot for the younger listeners. We don't scratch this, or else we'll never get better.
Today we present a dramatized version of an old English poem adapted from the Russian work A Thousand Ukrainian Midwives with Flowers in Their Mouths. It is entitled The Pied Piper of Bexley Heath. The poem will be red and the joke will be blue.
Not too many years ago in dear old Bexley Heath, every single citizen was fed up to the streets. Where'er they walked around the town, their hearts were in their boots, because the place was overrun by little men with sleep.
Flautists in the lavatory and flautists in the lounge, flautists on the dressing table, flautists on the stand. Flautists, flautists everywhere. And there were even rumours one naughty little flautist had got in Nathan.
Oh, must you?
Sorry.
People had tried everything, like traps and spells and prayer, and then in desperation tried the council and the mayor. The mayor stopped his racket fiddling public central heating and sobered up the councillors and held a special meeting. Silence! Silence! Quiet! Quiet! Shut up! Quiet! Silence! Shut up! Quiet! Silence! Keep quiet! Shut up! Quiet! Silence! Quiet! Shut up!
Are you? I wouldn't mind, but he can't play the piano either!
Something has got to be done, Mr. Mayor, about these slaughters. When my wife got home last night, they were everyone in the place. She found two in her escritoire, and one little devil got in her Chesterfield.
Got in her Chester what?
Chesterfield.
I'm sorry, Councillor Graff, but my hands are tied.
Keep your perversions at home and get on with the meeting.
We've tried everything. I am at my wit's end. I'll give 25 quid and green stamps to anyone who can rid us of these slaughters.
Done!
A little voice cried out. They looked to see who spoke, and standing in the chamber was a skinny little bloke.
When I say standing in the chamber, he was...
Oh, shut up!
He wore a coat of green and red, his trousers white and blue, and on his feet were two flat hats, and on his head, a shoe. Around his neck, a finest lace, he wore a handsome ruff. And everything considered, he looked very like a puss.
I'll rid your town of flautist fire by simply using that. And he threw down on the chamber floor a very large stuffed rat. With that, they scoffed.
Oh, yes,
he said.
I promise you, with ease.
And he held the rat up to his mouth and he played a burst from two. The council laughed and then were still and hung their heads with shame. Because from every nook and cranny, tiny flautist came. They ran towards the strange young man and gathered around his feet and deftly, playing on his rat, he led them to the street.
And as he walked around the town, they flocked with might and main. Till all at once, he stepped aside, and they fell down again.
By the hell, he's done it. Here, Sonny, it's 50p for your trouble.
50p?
The youth replied.
You can't call that one, Grant. I want the 20 nicker, and I want the green silk stamp.
A fig for you and your stuff, rat. And also, slow you, Jack. If I don't give you the lolly, can you get the flautist back?
If you don't pay,
the piper said,
another tune I'll play. And if I do, then, Mr. Mayor, you'll live to rue the day.
He placed the rat up to his lips and played another tune. Because either sheep may safely graze, or else how high the moon.
And all at once a sound was heard that filled the air with fear. The sound of trombones, trumpets, strings, and all of them grew near.
He packed them all, yes, every one, into a magic taxi, which started up reverse and knocked the mayor flat on his jacket.
And they were never seen again. Their rumours filled the land. But they're all very happy now with either bench and sand.
So if today you chance to meet the folk of Bexley Heath, you'll find they've sacked the mayor, but they're still fed up to the street. Because each time the town band plays a tune from Bach or Bliss, no matter how it ought to sound, it always sounds like this. Set up, Susie. Was written and performed by Barry Cryer, John Duncan, and Timbrook Taylor. Music was by the Venice Team Trio. And the program was produced by David Hatch.
Toodaloo. And you. Come on, they're open.